Yes, guys, hello and welcome back to the Once You're In podcast, episode 116, we think it is. And this week, it'll probably just be one episode because we've got to be done in about an hour. So we'll do a usual classic OG.
Special.
Yeah, a classic OG OYIYI. I'm going to let Reese lead the pod. I'm going to open my monster. You can decide where we go with this.
I've already opened my monster.
And I'd like to open mine live.
Okay, get it. Come on, let's hear the...
It is frozen, though, so it might not do it properly because I've had it...
Oh, nightmare.
I've had it in the freezer all the morning.
I usually find, like, 60 to 90 mins, like a good sort of time. A little bit of ice, but not too much. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, but though. I was driving here, so I had to calculate the defrost time.
Have you calculated well, or is it...
Yeah, it's spot on.
Fair enough. Right, sound. Well, usual. Like, I mean, we usually have a bit of a chat. It's been... When did we do the last one? Was it last week? Last Thursday?
Yeah, we did one last week.
Okay. Well, how has the last week been for you, mate? Well, you had your first... We can talk about the burger protocol.
Yeah.
Had your first
five,
guys.
I did that. Looking back, like, the benefit from it was minimal.
Explain.
I expected to feel a lot fuller and a lot better from it.
You don't.
But it was like I put my story, didn't I? I was like, at the end of the day, it's just calories.
Yeah.
And like my calories on that day were still like 3,000.
Mm.
So like I'm not going to be overly full or feel great for it. Like the meal itself was nice for the first like 2 minutes. I was like, oh, this is nice. But yeah. I wasn't like, oh my God. Like,
no,
I'm not at that point, and I don't think I'll ever be at that point. Like, regards to food focus.
If I'm being honest, I don't think many people get to that point. It's just people hype it up. It's the thought.
Yeah.
The thought of the food is way better than the actual
food.
Yeah,
it always is. It was nice. Like, it was more so nice, like, we obviously got to go and enjoy
a
meal.
Yeah.
But it was more so, like, I thought, right, cool, I'll probably feel pretty good tomorrow. I should see a decent look in the morning in terms of, like, increased fullness, sodium intake being a little bit higher. And then the next day, I think I was like half pound up. My legs just felt so draggy. Like I felt horrendous in the past few days, but I feel better than I did last week in terms of like my legs feeling. I think what I should have just done is stuck to normal food and just had lower expenditure days, which I've obviously planned out like moving forward. So I've kind of planned like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are my quote unquote like main digging days with 20,000 steps. Food is low. Cardio is 35 minutes, and then Thursdays and Sundays, which are my rest days, slightly less steps because I'm not training, so I don't get the steps from training. So getting 20,000 steps on those rest days is a little bit more challenging, especially because they're quite busy work days. Even Sundays at the minute are quite busy with like shows or getting everybody ready for shows or setting up clients and stuff. So I've brought my expenditure down on my steps down to 15,000, but bumped up my cardio to 45 minutes, which was the first time this morning, which was sound. And then Friday, Saturday, I'm going to have as like lower days and potentially even accompany those with higher food days if and when needed, especially before, in the lead up to shows. And I think I'm going to try and run with that. Obviously, we have to assess it every day, and that's kind of how I'm running things anyway. Like if I feel mint on a Friday, I won't be like, right, low steps and high food. Like, it's more so a case of when I'm feeling trashed, just to try and hold on to performance. This week's been the first week where it's like, okay, like I'm not maintaining on everything or progressing here or there. Yeah. It's like I'm maintaining on 75% and I'm losing on 25%.
The red pens come out.
Yeah. So Friday and Saturdays will be no cardio and like probably steps just where they fall, like
10 to 12.5. Yeah.
And then if I need to, if body weight's still dropping on those days, I might accompany them with just like an extra 100 carbs pre and post, something like that, something really minimal. I think I'd benefit from that, mainly just in terms of the Friday and the Saturday session being a quad day, weaker body part, and a posterior day, weaker body part. Monday session's not that difficult, push. Wednesday session's not that difficult, back, although it was fucking dragging yesterday. Tuesday session is difficult, but I almost get the hype, the boost from being at Rotherham, like...
Yeah, and also it's good kit, stability
is
always good.
Yeah, I just I always, like, that session, no matter how hard it is, it's not going to be a bad session because of the environment and the equipment and the fact that I usually go and see my sister afterwards, so I've got to be done at a certain time. So it's like, it kind of always ends up being a good session.
Yeah, no, I get that. And the Wednesday, I found the Wednesday session was fucking brutal. Awful. Yeah, the Wednesday, it's funny. So, like, me and Finn have, not as much anymore, but we had a very similar split. And the Wednesday session would come around, and it was just a pull session, the least demanding session of the week.
I mean, it's really
because,
not demanding.
Yeah, because it's Monday, yeah, it's the third day in a row. Every single time it would come around to that Wednesday session, and I'd be like, I'm absolutely smoked.
That's proper, like yeah, I've taught myself before the start yesterday.
Yeah.
But then I stick a timer on my phone, and I'm like, right, I've got this amount of time, get the session done, like, make sure it's a good quality session in that time. And then when, as the time is starting to like trickle down, I'm like, okay, I'm nearly done. Like,
superset everything.
Yeah, I don't do anything to the last 10 minutes. Then I just rush through everything.
Yeah, you just sit there and you're like, oh. But shit.
I'm at that point where it's like training is just another box to tick. It's not fun anymore. No. Like, realistically,
no. This is the enjoyable part for prep, but in the horrible part of training. Like, it's not the enjoyable part. I mean, it's the enjoyable part because you're prepping now. This is a prep.
Yeah, but even like, you get to that point where it's not even enjoyable because, like,
oh no, it's not.
You don't like how you look. Yeah. You every time you pose, you like, I don't look forward to posing now. Going all like, at least I'm looking decent. Like, it's literally just have a routine and just don't miss regardless, and just keep going. Like, that's where I'm at, which is fine. I'm expected. And kind of where I need to be. And I think, realistically, I'm happy with where I'm at. Still need to be leaner for the first main show, which is like 4 weeks away, but that's fine. I will be. I've got a practice show next weekend, which is just going to be gathering data. I'm not really going to peak heavily into that. I don't really want to be gaining much weight going into that.
No.
I'll just drop some fatigue. I'll do similar to what I did for the FitEx, but probably slightly lesser. Not really gain much weight. Drop fatigue, have a look how I look. And then push on.
Yeah.
And then I think realistically, like, I'll be pretty much inside out for the UK FBA qualifier. And then after that, it's like show, rest for a weekend, show, weekend off, show. So it's like.
For the UK FBA qualifier? You mean BMBF qualifier?
No, I won't be inside out for that.
Okay. UK, yeah, I was going to say you'd hope so for the UK FBA in September. 100%. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So when you said UK, because you said for the show in 4 weeks, like, for people that don't know as much, they probably go, oh yeah, that's UK FBA Northern.
The BMBF's in 4 weeks. That's the BMBF Northern. Yeah. I'll be pretty much there for that.
Yeah.
But then a few more weeks, it's 3 weeks later, the UK FBA in September, the Midlands.
Yeah.
I'll be like pretty much 100% for that or close to, and then realistically just reverse into the shows for the finals, just get fuller and fresher.
Yeah,
that'd be the plan. Yeah. So I was looking through some photos yesterday. I was on my Instagram just scrolling back, and like, it makes you realize how flat and depleted you are when you see yourself, like, when I see myself at like 180, like, what, 14 pounds up from now, and I'm like, fuck, I actually look really good there. Yeah, like, it's a nice balance.
I remember saying to you, do you not remember at Evo, and I said, I was like, I like this sort of look for you. Because it's like, I said to you, you're just going to die from this point. And that's bodybuilding, even more so towards natural bodybuilding, but bodybuilding in general, even enhanced bodybuilding, you don't have a lot of muscle. Like,
I think if you can bring both, and I think being ahead and being ready early and being able to then, so like, realistically, my food's like very, very, very low. If I could, I reckon I could be on another 1,000 calories per day going into the final shows, not even peaking, just on a baseline.
Oh yeah, I think,
like, in which case I'll be looking so much better.
I think a lot of people go, I said this to like prep clients, and it's how it is. I think a lot of individuals get themselves confused with, like, let's say they're digging calories, or like, let's say 2,000 on training day and like 1,400 on the rest day or whatever, or 1,500. Let's say 2,000 and 1,500. I think you get confused that's like your set point of calories, and it's like, that's not your maintenance. That's a deficit, you know. So your maintenance point, could you eat 3,000 and let's say 2,500 calories and do some cardio and probably maintain? Yeah. You would, and you wouldn't. Would you be getting sharper? Would you be looking better? No, but would you be dropping off stress and fatigue? Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's also at this point, like, I'm obviously taking scale weight into account, but nowhere near as much as I was like a month ago, because like the difference between how I feel now versus like a month ago is very different.
Oh yeah.
And I'm only like a few pounds lighter.
Yeah, but you get to that point where like you trickle down into that, like it's like a balancing act.
Yeah,
it's a seesaw. You get to a certain point and then you drop below it and you're like, oh god.
I think anything below 170 for me at the minute, like obviously in terms of the muscle that I hold, etc., like anything below 170, I'm like, okay, I'm pretty fucked.
Yeah.
Anything between 170 and 180, it's like, okay, I'm dieting.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything above 180, it's like, I feel good.
I'm maintainable. Yeah. And everyone's going to have that sort of set point.
Yeah.
For some people, they're sub 180. Let's say same composition.
Yeah.
Like, sub 180, they'd be like, oh my god, I'm on my ass.
Yeah. For a lot of people. And for a lot of people, they could be where I am now and feel normal.
Fine. Yeah. It's literally a genetic point. Where you are. And then also as well, like, I think the period of time, like, for example, you've not felt like this before, but, like, you're probably going to have weeks where you feel worse. And that's going to be 100%. The case. And you'll probably look
still
back.
Still got to be leaner, so.
Yeah, and you'll look back at where you are now and go, I didn't actually feel that bad that day.
I think one of the thing is as well, though, is, like, most people would get to this kind of level and be like, right, I'm ready. I'm stage lean.
Yeah,
like, because for most people, I think my condition is stage condition or further for most people.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But as I keep saying, when people are like, oh mate, you know, you've been ready for ages, or you're ready early, like,
you've not been ready.
I'm not.
You're not
like,
ready. No.
For people that don't realise the standard at the top level of natural bodybuilding, like, it is very, very good. Like, I would look fat if I was to go and stand on in a really good lineup.
And even if, let's say, like, you're 100%, this is again your second prep, like, if you were to compare, like, let's say the holy grail of natural bodybuilding, AJ Morris. But if you were to compare AJ's conditioning, like, relative to, like, every year from when he's competed, he's got himself probably 100% and he's got sharper and better every single time. You know, for you, like, I guarantee if you were to do another prep, you'd be able to get leaner and look better. And there are, like, there's always body fat to pull off. And with what we said, it's relative to a look. If you're just going off, okay, it's a dieting contest, cool, your stage weight would be 150. You know, and could you get to 150? Yeah, you could. Would you look better at 150? No, like in comparison to 158, 159 that you'll probably will be at, let's say, the finals. So it's all relative. And I think it's one of those, it's quite easy to get yourself into this kind of groove of like, okay, people are telling me this and this, I'm ahead of this and this is where it needs to be. It's like, well, in reality, like, it still needs to be better.
Yeah, and it's irrelevant what anyone says as well. Yeah. Like, social media, I remember I was looking back at some posts yesterday and somebody said, it was on literally on a post from like 2 months ago. Somebody was like, mate, your rear shot is ready, or you're one day out. It's like, but compared to now, like, I look fat.
Oh, yeah,
like,
definitely.
People don't, again, it's more so people are either not in the industry or, again, just don't realise the standard at the top level.
Yeah.
Like, again, I could compete this weekend in a natural show. But if it was a good lineup, like, let's say it was the finals from last year, I'd be horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
I'd, like, get smashed.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, the standard is very high. And that's what you've got. It's like, if that's where you want to be at, you've got to get to that level, like, conditioning-wise.
Yeah, exactly. And then even if you are that level conditioning-wise and there's four or five guys who have more muscle mass than you
get beat.
Yeah. You get beat and you're like, ah, it is what it is. Or the standard is where you turn up and you win and you're like, oh, but nothing changes. It's only a case of bringing you 100%. And especially with, like, the prep that you've set up, it kind of makes sense to be thinking, well, like, right now, you're going to feel a bit meh. You're probably going to feel worse. There's still areas to improve. Like, your back has been very, very lean, not stage lean. Like, let's say when you know, you said that one day out. I know what photo it's after, it was CMP day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you telling me that. You were like, you got a comment, you showed me, and I was like,
yeah, but yeah. Obviously, it's not.
Your back was lean then, really lean, but it's not stage lean.
But it's not just your back, it's everywhere.
No, that's like, what I mean. Back, like, if you were to look at your, even now, like, your hamstrings and glutes and quads could and should be leaner. Like, I say should be.
They shouldn't be for the time frame.
No, but they could be. I mean,
I've got 13 weeks until the last show. It's probably not a good idea to try and be those leaner.
No, but for the qualifying shows, let's say, and stuff like that, like, if you were to say your, let's say, glutes and hamstrings 4 weeks out from, like, 2 weeks out from a warm-up show, I'd be like, well, probably not for 100%, but the goal is not to be 100%.
That's the point,
yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, work to do, as always. So, like I said, you had the burger on Friday.
Yeah.
Body weight was up a little bit. Saturday, Sunday, lower expenditure days, weren't they, for you?
Yeah.
So what did that entail? No cardio, just steps at like a baseline, it's like 10 to 12k?
I think so. I can't remember exactly. I'm sure.
It was no CV. It was no CV Saturday, Sunday. And then back to...
Yeah, I did cardio Friday, didn't I?
Yeah.
Back Saturday, to digging. Sunday was off.
Back to digging from Monday.
I think that'll work quite well for me. I think, like, having one or two days where I give my legs a little bit of a break each week based on how I'm feeling. And I think based on like how I have felt, it seems to be that I get towards this point in the week, especially after the Thursday rest day. Again, my rest day food is like 1,200 calories.
Mm.
Like, I feel my legs always feel really draggy going into Friday. And then Friday's a leg day. And it's like, it's not great, especially then doing cardio in the morning. And like, by the time that I get to train at the minute, I've done 10,000 steps plus already.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm going into a leg day with fatigue from like obviously the rest of the week. So I think I'm based on how I've planned it out, I'm thinking it's going to work out pretty well, because it's like, right, dig, drop off a bit of fatigue over Friday, Saturday, potentially increase food if it's needed. Like, I don't think
you'll need to.
No, not this week.
No.
But I think in subsequent weeks, that'll probably work out well, as like, basically it'll be 3 low days, if you like, or 5 low days realistically, because the rest days are very low. But when I say 3, I mean like 3 low training days, 2 moderate training days as like a refeed, like moderate to high. Mm. And then I reckon I'll still be losing, I can still lose a decent amount with that.
Mm.
I think if anything it'll actually help speed up the process, to be fair.
It's one of them, like, you don't know.
Take it.
Yeah, you can make the perfect plan, but the problem is at this point is it literally is a case of taking it day by day. And like, it's one of those, like she said about body weight, you could have a bit of a stressful day or just train really, really like fucking hard, bury yourself and you're a few pounds up from inflammation, you're like, oh no. But in reality, like I said to you before, like you were 166, no, you were a good 166 the Tuesday after the
Monday and the Tuesday.
Monday, Tuesday after the show.
But that was a case of massive drop off in stress. Exactly. Hardly
and then
any
you
steps.
Were a pretty shit 170. Like what was that? Like last week,
like
Wednesday?
2 days later, yeah.
Yeah, 2 days after. So literally it was like 2 days, 4 pounds up, no changes if anything like that, back to digging, but that's gonna be fatiguing and stress as well, probably just kind of climbing back on yourself. Then the weekends
this morning,
come.
I was back to 166.
Yeah, exactly. So
and
like,
it's like an actual 166. Yeah. So 166s after the shows weren't an accurate 166. It was.
But then also, if you were to look at an average, I guarantee if you would sort of, like I say, I guarantee, I know your average would have been like, yeah, you had a 166, but you were higher the days before and days after.
That average
and
was
that's
like
normal.
So the week, the mock load before the FitEx, I was like basically didn't lose any weight.
Mm.
Then the FitEx week I didn't lose any weight.
Yeah.
And then the week after with the drop I lost 3.5 pounds in a week.
Yeah.
So it was like across those 3 weeks I'm still like losing about a pound a week, which is kind of what I've been losing. So it was like, okay, that's sound. And then obviously it came back up, but now it's coming back down. So like the 166 this morning is an actual 166 really, where like it's a 166 with fatigue, with actually digging. It's not a 166 from not training, because I'd obviously like had a deload over that weekend as well.
Yeah.
Plus the day before the 166 on the Monday was Josh's show day, which was a really busy day where I was like on my feet a lot.
Yeah.
But not in a fatiguing way, just in like I'm standing a lot, I'm communicating with people a lot. My last meal was at like 7 PM and I didn't get to bed until like 11 because we had to drive back and stuff. So like, the 166 on the Monday, Tuesday after the shows was like a bit of a post deload 166 or post deload low weigh-in. So
well, think about how every time you deload and then you get back into the gym and you gain a few pounds and you're like, oh, okay,
so that's
cool.
That's what happened. And I think like, obviously I know that anyway, but when you're in this position, you're sort of like, oh, I should be seeing a new low. Yeah, and it's like, you get a bit pissed off and it's like, stupid, really. Like, I know why I've gained weight. I'd say like to any client exactly why and what's going on. I'd say it to myself, but I'm still then like,
oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, it'd be nice to see this weight. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, it's just the position you're in at this point.
So yeah, and then back to digging from Monday, really. I say back to digging, but like the weekend was just, let's say, a little bit less expenditure. And then you're now at like a legit 166. So yeah, I'd see how the next few days go. Low expenditure potentially. Like I said, I don't think it's a bad setup. But also at the same time, you just need to take it day by day.
But that's the plan.
Yeah.
Like the plan can deviate, but I think it's quite a nice structure to mainly just to hold on to performance. Like last thing that I want is, and obviously it's inevitable to an extent, but last thing that I want is to be like, shit, I need to really dig now. So performance is in the bin, doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
If you kind of think about how like your performance was right at the end.
Oh yeah.
And most people
don't have
like,
any. No, it wasn't performance. It didn't have any performance. Yeah. There was no performance.
Like,
it was like,
that's what I mean. I don't want to get to that. Yeah, yeah. If I can prevent that from happening, which I think I can with where I'm at and how many weeks I've still got. then like implementing those refeeds when necessary, implementing the lower expenditure days when necessary, I think can be really beneficial.
Yeah.
If I can keep my performance at least at like yesterday's session was a draggy session, but if I look at my numbers and I look at my actual performance, it's still like a 70-80% session.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like a 90-100%, but it's not like a 30.
Yeah.
I haven't had any 30% sessions yet.
To be fair, I say that. Like, I didn't really have any. Like, the only sessions that I did was like, and that being said, in between shows, it was like you're not really getting the same stimulus because you're just kind of moving a bit of blood around.
Yeah, see, I don't like that.
No, I'm not a massive fan. But then at the same time, when you're three days out and 4 days out, the last thing you want to be doing is going.
Especially, I think one thing that I do need to keep in is some form of hinge, like a good level of a hinge, because my back shots look so much better. My erectors look so much better. Like, if I don't hinge for a week, my back looks like I don't train. So like, I think I need to even like, let's say I might even if I've got like in between shows, if I need to, I might even just have like a posterior session on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like just to keep it in. And I might not be doing like my 180 load, but even if I'm doing a 150, 160, like, because it makes my back look so much better.
Yeah, I posed after Tuesday and Sam was filming, and Sam was like, "Reece, your lower back looks really good." And I was like, "Yeah, I can actually hip hinge now. I can actually deadlift." Yeah. Like the second you go below a certain body weight,
you stop doing it.
Yeah, like, it's like just all the muscle just decides, "Ah, I'll come back."
It's just inflammation. Like,
yeah,
if you think about it, like if you weren't to train push for a month,
oh mate, yeah,
like. You'd look like, obviously you'd still look like you've got muscle, but you'd look so flat. No, but it'd be
a different look entirely.
Yeah. And if you, it's the same really, like, obviously your erectors are involved in a lot of movements as a stabilizer, and you could isolate them, you could do a hip extension or a hyperextension machine or whatever, but actually having a hip hinge in, like, your back will look different. I don't care what people say, like, it will look different. And there's no movements, there's no exercise you have to do. It doesn't have to be a deadlift, it could be a stiff lay, it could be a dumbbell RDL, it could be this, it could be that. But having something in that does require you to actually sort of have that axial brace, loading and that brace, and challenges your erectors and challenges your whole back, like your whole posterior chain in a certain hip extension movement, your back will just look different.
Yeah.
Not even just from like, oh, you've grown so much, but like from a inflammation standpoint.
What built it? What built it keeps it, bro. Yeah. Classic saying. So yeah. Is that everything last week for you, mate?
I think so.
Yeah. Sound? All good with me. Gaining phase. Bloods were done. Yeah, bloods were...
Can you go through them?
Could do, to be fair. Yeah, they were actually pretty sound. I think everything was within range, which expected my prolactin. First ever time my prolactin's been within range. I've been taking like a fair few supplements to try and kind of limit it. Prolactin, stress hormone. It's something that I don't... If you were to speak to me, you would never say I'm stressed. But internally, I'm always a lot more stressed than I probably realise. And whenever I've had my bloods done before... My prolactin's always like doubled or tripled, and I'm like, yeah, probably not too ideal.
Just being busy, though.
Yeah, like, that's literally what it's about. Like, having stuff on and doing stuff.
If I was to like get my bloods done now, they'd be probably pretty awful. But I don't feel stressed. It's just that you constantly
eat. No, I never feel stressed. I rarely will ever say, God, I feel stressed. But I know internally, I'm like, okay, I've got this, I've got that. Like, I live my life on the efficiency of, like, if I can budget myself to go to the toilet, but then also while I'm going to the toilet, write an Instagram caption, I'm like, okay, that saves me on my walk that I can then get back to a form feedback video.
I've started, when I put my shoes on, I'm watching training videos on the floor while I'm putting my shoes on, while I'm having a piss. There's a radiator there at home. I've got training videos on while I'm having a piss, like... Literally, when I get up in the morning and do my weigh-in, I'm getting back to like just short messages on WhatsApp before I get back to like proper all the messages. Like,
So that's the reason why my prolactin's usually pretty high, but it actually hasn't been. So vitamin B6, P5P, game changer. Overdosing on that before bloods. And to be fair, probably the holiday was
just had loads of that before you got done.
Yeah, literally loads. To be fair, annoyingly they cancelled on me, so it actually delayed the blast starting for a few days. God, they just clearly just don't care about my bodybuilding aspirations. But no, everything was all good pretty much. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Was there anything that I was like, oh, okay, that was slightly maybe not as expected? Test was at like literally 29 nanomole, which was expected from 160 milligrams per week, so that was all good. So I was actually then a natural range of test, bro, so I've been natty. Everything else, estrogen was in range, which is expected. There was one thing that I did look at and I was like, oh, I can't remember off the top of my head, But oh, that's what it was. My thyroid T4 underactive. I got R9 Ronaldo vibes because that's what happened to him. That's why. Don't know how I'm still fucking lean. No, to be fair, it's probably through like whenever you take like growth hormone and stuff like that, especially for periods of like a longer amount of time, it can sometimes mess you with your T4. My T3 was in range, and obviously T3 and T4 were utilised throughout the prep. But my T4 was slightly out of range, so potentially might have to be on T4 year round, depending on how things are. I'm going to play around with it. I'm going to get blood done again in like 12 weeks.
I'm going to say, give it a bit
of time. Still, it's still, but it was very low in comparison to my T3. And when I did my bloods last time, they were both within range. But then at the same time, I am like still, it's been 8 and a bit weeks post show, and like naturally just putting on body fat and being fatter would help, so I'm not going to be like, okay, let's just start taking T4 constantly. However, if we are looking at things from like a medical sense, like actual thyroid and something like T4 year round isn't actually that negative. If anything, it would probably be a benefit if it's still going to be an issue, let's say 3 months down the line. But this is why getting blood work is important, guys, because you can assess and think, right, what do I need to deploy to potentially manipulate, let's say, health markers to a better standard, even within natural settings. Obviously, for example, if you are natural, you can't just be saying, oh, I'm going to start taking some T4. But yeah, bloods were done. Training's been really, really good. Definitely feel a lot more myself now. Like, training's good, sleep's a lot better. Everything's just kind of as it should be. Feel really full in the gym. Every single week I'm turning up and weights are feeling lighter. And I'm enjoying, I did an arm day. I put in a top-up day on Monday. So it's like arms, a bit of delts and abs and calves. And it was like enjoyable to be like going to the gym and being like, oh yeah, I want to train. Which I've wanted to train obviously for the last like 4 weeks after like once I've actually got some body fat on me again and I feel more normal. But like in a prep, the last thing you're thinking of is when you're on the way to the gym, like, yeah, I get to train.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, yeah. I can't remember the last time I thought,
yeah, I get to train.
I want to train.
Yeah.
It's or just like, I get I've to got, train. Yeah, it's just like, I'm training. I'm going to train.
Yeah, exactly. So that kind of itch and urge to be like, oh, I get to go to the gym today. Like, I woke up on Monday and I was like, oh, I get to train today. Like, when I haven't been training on Mondays. And like, when you get that sort of feel, it's a weird feeling. Yeah, when you've gone like through the large majority of the year and it's like, cool, train day. Like, it's not where I perceive training in a negative sense. It's just, it's like, cool, go train.
Yeah, it's not a negative or a positive.
No,
it's just is what it is.
Yeah, just training. So, yeah, literally everything seems all good. Maybe an important announcement coming soon that I won't really touch upon. I can't delve into details yet, guys. By the time this is out, no, probably not. But something's cool is in the work, so I'm going to do what, like, those Instagram... Yeah, you see on Instagram, like, an important announcement coming soon and then, like, a countdown or whatever. Yeah, nobody actually really gives a fuck. And like, it's the same as like, nobody I actually said cares. To I said to Hubert today, so next Friday I've got a client who's competing the following day and we're staying in Telford, so I've got an Airbnb, so Josh is coming, and I said to Hubert's got the day off from work, so I was like, oh, sound, why don't you come to the show, because he's come to shows but he's never, like, we've never had a show where we're all together. So I was like, right, I'll get an Airbnb, Friday we'll head up or whatever, and it basically on Friday we're doing like an announcement like video thing. And so I told him on his check-in, I said, I probably shouldn't be going into detail here. I started laughing because I was like, I sound like the generic, like, I can't disclose, I can't cover. In reality, if Hubert was to tell, because I told him exactly what's happening, if Hubert was to go, if people are going to message Hubert, Hubert, don't can say anything. If Hubert was to tell people, nobody gives a fuck. Nobody's going to go, oh my God, Reese has leaked what's happening.
I've said that.
Like, it's always funny. I've had
clients doing shows like that they're not telling people about. Like, I'll tell someone that, oh, they're doing this show if you want to come to that. And I'm like, don't tell anyone. Like,
but then the back of your head, I've said that. And then the back of my head, I'm like, no one cares.
Yeah, don't worry.
No one gives a fuck. It's like, and it's the same as when you see somebody on social media put like a countdown. It's like, no one cares, bro. Just put it up when you can. And if not, just be quiet. No one cares. So yeah, that's that. Life is good. Travis Scott's album comes out tomorrow, Utopia, which I'm looking forward to. On our way to Edinburgh over the weekend. So I've pretty much got like busy weekends. Edinburgh this weekend with Sanaya, and I'm seeing Finlay, Gulliver and Musa. I saw Musa on Saturday.
Boys.
The boys, the Scottish lads. So yeah, going to Scotland this weekend, next weekend, Telford for the FitEx, and then Finn is on stage at the A1. Unfortunately, Nicola, I'm not going to be stepping on stage.
I'm not announcing that.
Oh, sorry, cannot disclose it.
No, I'm being serious, I'm not, but I don't care.
This will be out a day or so before. And also, what did you just say a minute ago regarding no one cares? Anyway, yeah, that's the show. Sorry, ruined it. But by the time this is out, it's going to be like a day or two out, and you'll probably already get in your tan.
You'll probably already be getting smashed by all the big boys.
Yeah. So yeah, unfortunately, Nicola, sorry, I'm not going to be doing that show. And then the following weekend, it's at True Athlete, me and Sanaa going on Friday. And then Sunday, I'm watching Liverpool v Chelsea, first game of the season. I've gone on holiday, so I've got pretty busy. Yeah, I'm just busy.
Now, speaking about football.
Yeah.
FPL League.
Ooh.
Make sure you get joining. I'll put the link on my story every now and again.
What's your team name? FK United still.
Yeah.
I haven't made my team. I need to. I'm gonna like,
you've got like 2 weeks.
Yeah, tomorrow I think on the drive up, Sanaa's driving, so I'm gonna like give myself a bit of like put on a FPL video and then we'll do some scouting.
I absolutely love it.
Really?
You
get proper into it at the start of the season, don't you?
I was into it all last season, to be fair.
Yeah. But you get properly into it at the start.
Yeah, but I don't know, it depends what your class is properly into it. Like, I'll put FPL videos on in the background while I'm doing cardio on mute because I'm doing work. I don't watch them actually or get properly into it. I just quite like the thought of, like, it's almost the fun is before the season starts, trying to guess who's going to do well.
Yeah,
I get once it starts, it is still fun, but once it starts, like, you kind of already know the teams and the players that are going to do well.
And also, last year was good fun. Our post-workout FPL watch. Post-workout meal, we had like probably more carbohydrates than what we've had for like fucking days at this point. Literally, me and Finn would have like probably 300 grams plus of carbs post-workout, FPL video on in the background, driving home after Rotherham. Those were the days.
I can't wait to be fat.
Those are the days, mate. We need to get back to, I know we actually used to get on, we used to train, that was nice.
We used to talk to each other.
Yeah, it's sad now.
Alright, should we get in some questions?
Those times shall return.
JP MVMT. Go-to coffee orders, prep versus off-season. You're a coffee connoisseur now.
I've never had a prep coffee, so I wouldn't know.
Well, I was going to say decaf, but that's just because usually if I'm going to get a coffee out somewhere, it's usually later in the day with Shannon.
I'm an afternoon coffee.
I'd get like a decaf sugar-free Americano with... decaf Americano with sugar-free caramel syrup.
Okay.
That is what I'd get on prep.
What is an Americano?
Just a black coffee. So no milk or anything.
Okay, fair enough.
If it's off season, I mean, realistically, I'd get a latte instead.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be much different. Maybe like if they've got like a special on, like a pumpkin spiced one or whatever, I might try that. Cool. To be fair, one thing that I do really like is a chai coffee or chai tea or chai latte. Jack, to be fair, when he messaged me about chai, you're saying he used to get people when he worked at Costa or somewhere, like Karens, he called them, that would like moan about the chai and saying that it was wrong and stuff. And he was like, fuck off, it's just like chai. Chai is like a tea. It's like a cinnamon kind of thing. Okay. It's nice.
Never tried it.
I have the chai sugar-free syrup at home and it is really nice.
Fair enough.
But I've cut out my syrups on that.
Yeah. So for me, I've never had a prep coffee. I've only ever drank maybe 12 coffees in my entire life, and they've all been in the last like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I wanted to get into it because I remember I was round yours and you were like, you know, when we went to a coffee shop, you said like to Shannon, you were like, I went to a coffee shop and we sat out and it was really nice. And I thought to myself,
that sounds really peaceful. Coffee, yeah.
That sounds really nice. Like, so I said to Sanaa, I want to get into coffees.
Cafes are nice.
Yeah, I agree. So I said, I want to get into coffees, but I want to like take it easy. I don't like the smell of coffee. I think it's way too extreme. And so I like started with a tea, and then I had like a sip of Sanaa's coffee, and we tried a few different ones, and I found one that I liked. So I get a skinny latte with sugar-free vanilla syrup, and I get half a pump of coffee. So I get half. Now I get a full. And that's the only ones I've really tried. So I'm a bit basic in the sense of I've never tried anything else. So when I said like an Americano, I don't even know what an Americano is. I am the least coffee experienced guy ever, but I actually really like, I'm going to get one today. I'm going to get one after my haircut. So yeah. But I'm an afternoon, like an early afternoon coffee guy. I couldn't imagine having one in the morning. I prefer a Monster in the morning, like, because I haven't ever had one in the morning. Like, really?
I have coffee before my cardio.
Yeah.
And then I have coffee while I'm doing, like, with my meal one. I have an iced coffee. Like, these are ones that I just make at
never
home.
Never had an iced coffee. Nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
Bear's here. Hello, Bear. Showing his face. So yeah, that's my go-to coffee order, and it's my only coffee order because it's the only thing I know. So yeah, give me some experience and give me some suggestions, please, guys. Right, so this is a bit of a deep question. Advice on how to be better, a better man, mentally. So how, and this is actually, it's quite funny. We spoke about this the other day. Bear, bless you. Go on. No, that's not come over here. That's, don't just walk in, sneeze, and then walk on. See you later. Bear, bye-bye. All right, Bear is leaving. Hopefully he doesn't sneeze or knock over the cameras. So we spoke about this the other day in regards to, I think, to be a better man mentally, it's like you set yourself a goal and you fucking do it. You hold yourself accountable.
I wouldn't say a better man.
No, I don't think that's better man. Yeah, better person. I don't like the better man. We're in 2023. So, yeah. Fellas.
You're kind of not even allowed to say man.
Yeah, like better individual, better human. Like, we're all human. Better they. Yeah, better they. But I think one thing is quite important. It's like, and I think it's a sign of maturity, is like being able to own up to your own shit and hold yourself accountable and get stuff done and have a bit of a backbone regarding like your mental state and what you need to do and get stuff done. Like, I think that's something that you grow up with.
Keep yourself busy. Keep yourself occupied mentally and physically. Yeah. Like, the less active and less busy that you are, I guarantee you'll feel worse.
Yeah.
Nobody ever's like, oh, I feel great because I just don't do anything.
Yeah.
That's never the case.
No. Like, no.
Even if you feel like, oh, I'm really tired or I'm busy and I'm stressed, like, you might feel better for having a weekend off, a weekend away, a holiday.
Yeah.
But just not being busy and not being active and not looking after yourself, like,
you're going to feel awful.
Yeah. People go on about like, oh, I'm just tired all the time. It's like, yeah, because you don't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, you have nothing to keep yourself active or keep yourself busy. Like, no wonder you feel tired. You've got no drive. You've got nothing that's forcing you forwards.
Yeah.
If you don't feel like you're progressing in any way, because you're not, you're going to feel like you're going backwards and you're going to feel shit.
And it's like a reward scheme, I think. Like, for example, like today.
Mini wins every day.
Yeah, like today, for example. So I go away tomorrow to Edinburgh. I know tomorrow's going to be a bit of a busy one, but I know Saturday and Sunday's check-ins, I've not got that much on. I've got a setup to get through today. I probably, realistically, with packing and everything for tomorrow, I probably won't be done today till like 9:30. Like, it'll literally be a case of I'll have about half an hour to switch off and then I'm going to bed. But I know when I get to bed.
That's good.
No, I know when I get to bed, I'm going to be like, and I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to be like, right, cool, cardio, get that done. I'm going to get my cardio done. And then everything's going to be packed and I'm going to enjoy the weekend. And I'm going to have like a high off me knowing that I'm not like, oh, I'll get that startup over the weekend. I'll be a bit slack. Or, oh, I'll get back to that check-in.
You get the highs from being on top of things. Yeah. When you're not on top of things, you feel worse.
And you're behind,
like,
yeah.
Even at the weekend, like, obviously I had lower expenditure.
Yeah.
If anything, I felt worse for it because it was like I was slightly out of routine.
Yeah, what am I doing with my time?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be one thing. But then also as well, like, a better man mentally. Like, I think as well, being able to work on your flaws. And, like, I think it's something that, again, it's quite hard because a lot of people aren't self-aware. And it's human nature. But I think assessing and thinking, what am I not very good at? Or what am I, like, what do I not like about myself in certain situations? And, like, trying to work on it. Like, I think, for example, if I was to always get angry when I'm driving, this is something that, again, I find bizarre, like road rage, but I would almost have a word with myself and say, right, Reece, you actually need to get a bit of a grip and you need to stop getting angry. Yeah. And I'd work on it. I wouldn't expect to be perfect, but I'd work on it. It's the same, for example, like, I remember I used to say to you when we first knew each other, like, I'd be like, oh, I can get all my work done. Like, when I was like 20 at uni, first year lockdown, I'd wake up like any time. My sleep schedule was awful. Like, I slept a lot, but I slept probably too much. And now it's probably the opposite. I don't sleep enough, but I would not get up at the same time because I'd be like, I'll get everything done. But my productivity is way, way, way decreased back then in comparison to now. And I remember saying to myself, right, Reece, you're fucking 20 years old. Get a grip.
Sort yourself out.
Yeah, sort yourself out.
I have to say stuff like that to clients at times. They're like, oh, mate, I was on Xbox till a bit too late. And like,
turn your Xbox off. To bed.
Yeah, I never want to come across like I'm being like patronizing in any way. But you're 20 odd years old or whatever, like, you don't need to be playing Xbox.
It's the same, like, how many times I've had clients where, like, oh, yeah, I got into this Netflix show and I ended up watching another episode. No, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how good something is. I'm going to bed.
Me and Shannon literally watch 15 minutes of a programme in the evening.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right, it's 8:30.
Yeah, bedtime.
Shower and bed.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
That's it.
I don't care if it's like, oh, it's a good five, oh, let's just 10 minutes.
Really good.
Like, the only thing I think I'd ever do that for would be, like, a football game on where it's, like, live and it's, like, an event. But, like, there'll be times where, like, if it's not Liverpool playing, I'd be like, yes, I don't care. Like, I'm not staying up to watch.
To be fair, that is one thing that's going to be difficult for me. Like, when football's back on, if United are on in the evening, like, I'm just going to go to bed. To be fair, I always did before. Yeah, I went to bed at half time. Now I'd be going to bed.
Yeah.
in the first 15 minutes.
Group stage of the Champions League, so yeah, he'll be all right. Right, next one.
Maka Morris, who's the better MP athlete now, Reese or Finn?
Oh, Finn, wait, right. Objectively.
Done one, won one, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I got a win, but no one else was there, so like that didn't count. And I got robbed. The open class, two bros, didn't count.
You're not counting.
No, I'm not. I got a first place trophy medal though, and I put up a story. So put up a story saying like first place in the stat class.
It's always got to be
also
stat.
Also,
you know what it is. No, win or lose, it's always a stat class. If you lose, it's a stat class.
And I got so
tough.
Many messages like, "Well done, bro. So if deserved. Win, awesome look." Class. And I'm like, "No, I looked awful. Thanks." Yeah, no. Finn objectively this year. So yeah, Finn. Got
yeah,
no
I'm
shame
fucking
saying
really,
that.
Really yeah, good.
So good.
Really good.
So good. Lineup was stacked as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, the lineup was stacked. Like David versus Goliath.
I think that's the only lineup where you could say the lineup wasn't stacked.
Yeah, like, you're on about.
If there's one person who turns up, lineup's
I beat
stacked.
The Scout came third. Biggest, best ever looking guy I've seen in my life.
Oh,
Team
really
Handsome.
Good look. Team Handsome, yeah, Team really Handsome. Good. Cut that out, so I'm going
to
get in trouble.
No, don't cut it out. I said to Christian the day after.
What was that about, Team Handsome?
I just wondered, because he's relatively good looking. If
is
you
it?
Think he's good looking.
I don't know, mate.
Maybe he is. I've got nothing going on. Like,
should we pause this and get his name and have a look and be like, oh yeah, he's pretty fit. Yeah, he's not Myron Max.
Myron Max
is Team Handsome. Like, he's
Myron
the
Max is the goat.
Yeah, like he's the best looking guy in the world.
Christian had a guy competing the next day, and he didn't say anything about Team Handsome. I was like, mate, what about this guy? I was like, is he not Team Handsome? And then he shouted it, and I was like, now he'll be thinking like, you know, you've not called me handsome.
Yeah.
Like, so Christian, you need to call all your clients handsome. What are you thinking? You need to, on the day, you need to motivate them and make them feel confident by calling everybody's in Team Handsome.
Their physique doesn't matter.
No, it's not about the physique.
Just
it's about the face.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's why I won.
Okay. What footballers could you see on a bodybuilding stage? I'm going to interject. Have you seen the Yuri Tillemans video that came out this morning from his debut? Oh my God. Webcam, like on his chest. And you see the pace, that it was a pre-season game, you get 0.2 of a second. The ball's coming to him, he spins, and he's got three people sprinting at him full speed, and he's playing the ball off. And it literally gave me, like, my heart rate went up. I watched it during my cardio. Yeah. My heart rate was higher because I was like, that is so intense, you don't realise. So, anyway, away from that, what footballers could you see on a bodybuilding stage? Salah would be, his delts are ridiculous, and he's got... I reckon Salah on like a men's physique stage would be sound now.
He'd be good.
He'd be good now.
Adama Traore would win most shows.
Yeah, he would. Do you remember Gary Cahill, mate? He had like some serious arms on him back in the day.
Really?
Like, yeah, Gary Cahill used to be pretty jacked. I think off the top of my head, who else?
Ronaldo.
Yeah, like peak Ronaldo, like Real Madrid, like 13, 14,
be
before
good
he downsized.
Muscle model.
Yeah, before he downsized after he got a few like knee injuries and like the Euros and stuff. Like Ronaldo was a lot bigger. I think people forget that, like early 2010s, Ronaldo was a lot bigger than he was like now, and like late 2010s. They'd be the ones off the top of my head.
Liam Turner, are there any movements you think are good on a vertical Smith but not on angled Smith? I think a hip thrust and a Smith machine squat are generally better on a vertical.
Yeah.
They're not bad on angled, but you just have to play around with it a little bit more. It's a bit more awkward. But I think pressing, to be fair, I prefer it on a vertical, but it's fine on an angled if you're pressing sort of up and back.
Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't make too much of a difference. It depends how steep the angle is. But yeah. Like, not many Smiths are that steep of an angle, really, are they?
Other than the one at Warehouse.
It's not that steep an angle, it's just heavy.
Heavy
Life
and
Fitness
sticky.
One, it's not that steep, yeah. It's just stupidly heavy.
And sticky. And old and cold. That's old and cold.
Yeah.
Worst combination for how things are. Okay, so max and min timing between meals.
Is that Kane Hoyley by any chance?
Yes, has he asked the same question to you?
Yeah.
He clearly really... Kane, you really want
need
the answer.
I need to know.
Kane, how long have you been having? Hey, mate, I've been having 10 minutes in between meals.
Mate, I've not eaten for 10 days. Is that all right?
This is one of those where I think like... So if we're going off like, let's say an actual answer, you'd say anywhere from like 2.5 to 4 hours to stimulate MPS. The leaner you are, that's going to play a role. Where your meals are placed, also going to play a role. And also, like, if anything, just getting in the food on a daily basis is the most important thing here. Like, that's not to say please eat 5 meals within an hour.
We eat one meal of like, yeah. 300 protein.
Yeah, and then just do that. But I think a lot of times, like, you could argue and just look at your day and look at how your day is set up. And where can you place your 4 to 6 meals, probably? Most likely, most people are eating between there for bodybuilding goals. Where can you place your 4 to 6 meals that's going to be of ease to you that you can keep consistent? You know?
Yeah, I'd say no sooner than 2 hours apart.
Yeah.
But it does depend, like you say, like rate of digestion, the amount of food that you're eating, the macro balance of that meal. Like if it's just a protein serving on its own with like zero carb, zero fat, you could easily eat within 2 hours later.
Yeah.
If it's a big meal with a lot of carbs, a lot of fats, like if it's, let's say, quite a dense meal in terms of the protein source, maybe it's something like a beef or a steak, like a steak meal rather than like a whey isolate meal. Like that meal's going to take a lot longer to digest. But the protein from that meal is going to take longer to actually utilize and spike MPS.
You'd feel it.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the thing. Like, no. I think it's one of those, you could easily ask a coach or ask two fantastic podcasts hosts who are also coaches, but you could also just give it a go and say, you know what, I've probably ate a bit too soon there.
Well, it's like, for example, my first meal is quite a big meal in terms of volume.
Yeah.
Still, like, obviously it's not a lot of food in terms of total calories, but it's a big meal. It's 200 grams of egg whites, 100 grams of lettuce, 4 turkey bacon rashers. It's a good meal. It's a decent sized meal. I then don't eat for like 4 hours until my pre-workout meal.
Yeah.
Or 3 to 4 hours, which is again another decent sized meal. It's a chicken and rice meal with again veg salad. Then I don't eat again for another few hours because I'm training. But then my post workout meal is literally just whey isolate. That's it. But then I eat within 2 hours, right? I don't wait 3-4 hours. I eat within 2 hours of that because it's a much smaller meal that's going to be utilized a lot quicker post workout. So then I have a cream of rice meal. This is just a standard training day, which again that meal's slightly larger but not major. And then I eat again about 2 hours later. Again, this is post-workout where I'm in a better position to utilize food. I'm going to be digesting meals quicker.
Yeah.
So it, like even with that, that's structured on my workload and how my days suit, but it also makes sense from a food volume perspective, from a satiation perspective. It makes sense. Like later in the day, it's nice for me to be able to eat every couple of hours when I've not got as much work on.
Yeah.
I'm still working, but I've not got as much work on. Whereas in the morning when I've got all my check-ins to do, I don't want to be eating every 2 hours. I've got check-ins to do. Like, so it's like you can set it out like that.
Yeah, my rest days, I push my first meal back. It comes back earlier when my food is higher on rest days, but like right now I'm eating at 10:30. I then eat at 2:30. And then from that point onwards, I'm eating every 2.5 to 2 hours on rest days. And that's just because I can get most of my work done. So I get to like 5:30 and I've only had 3 meals, but then I'm getting my next, like if we're including that 5:30 meal, I'm getting those 3 meals every 2 hours from that point. So it's like, where in the morning it's like, well, I have like 4 hours worth of fasting or 3 hours worth of fasting, I get cardio done, I get a good amount of work done, and then we'll do another like 3 hours worth of, like, in between 3.5 hours worth sometimes in between my next meal. But that suits me. I can get my work done, I enjoy it, and if anything, I quite like not having to eat straight away when I wake up. I do it on a training day because I have to get the food in relative to training, but on non-training days, if I don't want to, I don't want to. So that's what I do. So yeah, is my question, mate.
Yeah, let's rattle through. We've got 5 minutes.
Okay. Did you both have another job before becoming online coaches / competitors? We've been asked that before.
Yeah.
I worked for my mum, and then I did a shit fucking restaurant job when I was like 16.
I was a PT before online coaching, and then before that, I worked at Next. I worked at the cinema. I worked at a restaurant. I worked in a catering job. Plenty of different ones.
Yeah. Should you still train on no carb days at the end of a cut?
Ideally not.
Why are you doing no carb days, bro?
If you had to, I would argue you could, but you should ideally set yourself in a position where you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Jake Byers, if a client played football, would you add calories to their match days as they burn so many? This is something that, like, it depends on, it's any sport, depends on the individual. You're better off just gathering data. For example, if you have a client who loses 3 pounds after every football match, then you could go, we probably need more food on those days or even the following days. Same with like football training or any kind of sport that they do. It's another form of expenditure. It's another form of output that requires more calories for recovery, but also to fuel that output. So yeah, it's likely that they would have higher food on those days or even on the subsequent days to sort of refuel.
Yeah. Cool. How many questions do you have, Mark?
One.
You? One. Sound. I've got one as well. Okay. Who has the worst and best haircut? Well, worst and best, that's a bit of a poorly answered.
My haircut is, it depends on the day. Sometimes, like, I don't even know now, it might be in a nice straight line, it might not.
Yeah.
Sometimes it wants to be on.
And the brackets was have an argument like last week. So we need to get in an argument. Mate, your trim's so dead.
I haven't got the energy, mate.
Your trim's dead.
Yeah, trim shit.
Yeah.
Miles Mason, last question. Finish off with a football one. Are you happy with United's transfer window? Who else would you like? I assume a nine. So we've got Mount and Onana, which I like. I like Onana a lot. Mount, yeah. I think, is okay. I'm not excited by Mount. I'm excited by Onana.
It's funny. I like Mason Mount. And Finn's always been a bit of a Mason Mount. Not a hater, just a very...
He's just all right. He's very not mid. Like, yeah,
he's, I think he's good. I think he's a good player.
Yeah, he's all right. He's a decent player. He's not.
I don't think he takes you up a level.
What a signing. No.
If you were to have signed Caicedo.
He does take us up a level because it means that we've got a stronger bench, like Eriksen's on the bench.
I agree, but I don't think, like, if you were to have had Caicedo, Casemiro, and Bruno, that's a genuinely fantastic midfield.
Yeah.
I think Bruno, Mount, and Casemiro, I think there's flaws there, if I'm honest. And I think Mount is on his own. Sound. I just think as a collective with United's team, I don't think it's like
it's not anything exciting. No. But Onana's exciting.
Yeah.
We will get Hoyland, I believe. And let's not.
My sources are telling me. Finn's sources are saying
it's not overly exciting, Hoyland. But
you don't think
in 2-3 years, I think he could be.
You don't think?
Well, no, mate. He's a young lad. It's not like getting Kane.
No,
like, we're the club that should be getting Kane or getting Osimhen. Really, like
you say that. That's the United mentality of like
No, but mate, we're the second biggest club in the world.
Yeah,
and they are. Like, you can't say they're not. Real Madrid and then United. Like, that's realistically facts in terms of fan base and.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're not, like, but I think players, value. There's players and there's
camera's gonna cut out. Sorry, guys, the camera cut out. But yeah, we were speaking about football. I think we'll get Hoyland. I'm pretty sure we'll get Hoyland in the next like week or so. I think that's a decent signing, but it's nothing overly exciting. But in a couple of years, it could be. I think we're going to get Amrabat, which I actually really like. I think it's a really good Casemiro backup and play alongside Casemiro.
And a squad player, way better than Fred.
Tough games.
Physically very good.
Yeah, I think he's very good. Yeah, he's very good at the World Cup.
Yeah, I think
he was good in that final. Obviously, I've not watched much more of him. Other than that, I think we should still get another centre back. That would mean we can get rid of Maguire, but I don't think we're going to. I wouldn't say. What an amazing window!
What do you think of Liverpool's window so far?
We need another striker as well, not just Højlund.
Yeah,
Liverpool. I think Liverpool's is good. If they get Lavia, it's very good.
But it's pretty much like, I think that's on.
Yeah.
It came out this morning.
But I think having a completely new midfield will take some time.
I think. Getting just Lavia.
I think Liverpool will either challenge for the title or they fall short of the top four.
We're not challenging for a title with Lavia as a DM.
I think you could. I think with Klopp and with how Liverpool can be, they could. That's what
if
I mean.
We get on a good run.
I think it's one or the other.
If we get on a good run,
really good, or they come fifth again.
If you were to say, like, let's say we start well, everything gels well, and like come Christmas we're top, wouldn't surprise me. But it also wouldn't surprise me if we lose.
If you're seventh.
Yeah, 3 or 4 games because of just inexperience.
Whereas I think, and I might be wrong, but I think with United there's more chance that we'll be around that third throughout the majority of the season.
Yeah, I think that the games against, like our games last year summed it up, like against United really well. First game, flat as anything at Old Trafford, got battered really. And then the next game, we absolutely slapped you off the park because we were firing all cylinders. Yeah. And that
we were also awful.
But then if you look at Liverpool in some games last season, we were really, like, the probably the best.
That, you lost to
Bournemouth. Yeah, we were literally like the best team in the world for some games. Then we looked awful.
Yeah.
So yeah. Liverpool's signing so far, Szoboszlai looks really good from what I've seen. Granted, I've only watched him probably 4 times. McAllister, I think, is a very, very good signing. I think that's like a perfect
signing.
Especially
for that price.
Yeah. And then Lavia, I think, is really, really exciting. I think he's got the credentials of a world-class defensive mid, but I don't think he's a world-class defensive mid now. I think
not yet.
Another year or two, I think he'll be really good. But I think if you were to keep Fab and have him as a rotation, awesome. To get rid of Fabinho and have him as your starting defensive mid for a team that wants to be, like, say, challenging or at least in a top four battle, I think it's a bit risky. But exciting, because, like, forward line, firepower's there. I think Gakpo, Nunes, Diaz, Jota,
Salah. I think Nunes
Salah
will have a better season.
Yeah, I agree. He scored 3 goals already in pre-season.
Yeah,
too.
I think he might get a bit more game time, and wouldn't surprise me if he gets a good amount of goals.
I think he will with our midfield now that we can actually create.
Yeah.
Because we've never had midfielders who create. I think Hendo off, Fab
and
off.
With inverted Trent.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. So, yeah, it's going to be a good season, hopefully. That's that, football. And once you're in, you're in. Hopefully everyone's enjoyed.
Join the FPL League.
Join the FPL. We'll leave
£50, well, £100 for the winner.
Leave a link in the bio or link maybe on the story.
Link on the stories now and again. I'll put a link in the bio. I'll remember in the caption.
Right, there we go. Thanks as always, guys. Thanks for story tags. Catch you guys in the next episode. See you later.